it wine, wine, wine. Kick my feet up when I get time. And as I recline, take another sip, let my thoughts unwind. Wine, sip it and spill it. Sip it and spill it, sip it and spill it the tea. Sip it and spill it.
What's poppin', everyone?
What's poppin'?
How you niggas doing?
I'm feeling like I'm a bad little bitch and I'm snipped like a Barbie. Hips, limbs, hello, motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Do y'all
motherfucker.
Not know how long we were trying to learn these words? Because we was like, what's she saying?
Right. Because I'm not about to get embarrassed on my own show, even though I've done it a million times. But I don't want to re-embarrass myself.
Hello, motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Motherfucker. You know what? I'm mad I like this song because I don't want to like the song. But the bitch is catchy. Shout out to Jonathan Porter for writing some catchy ass lyrics.
Not you over here trying to fucking give him his government name.
I mean, shit, he got his government. I saw his government name on the thing. It said Jonathan Porter, yeah, written by him. So you know what? I'm gonna call you Jonathan Porter. I like that name. You should go by Jonathan Porter instead of Blue
No, because I feel like if he went by Jonathan Porter, it would be too closely connected to like Porter, as in like, you know, the one dude's. God, what are those? Shoddy, shoddy, go. Shoddy, shoddy, go. No, shoddy, shoddy, go. Travis Porter.
Oh, that is not the song I think about. I think the hey go ladies, hey, like you know, something like that.
What's that one?
Dance Like a Stripper.
Oh, okay. But yeah, Travis Porter, that's what I think of. So I think Porter, because you know, Travis Porter wasn't just one person, it was like a group.
Yeah.
So I would think that's probably why he didn't want to go by it, because Porter was already out there. I don't know. I'm just thinking. I don't know.
Maybe because he want to be a Crip, so is he a Crip? He a Crip because he be like on SY, so he a Crip.
I don't even be listening to what he be saying.
You know, I don't it's listen either. Out. We are definitely in a group chat that we are not, did not want to be
we
in.
We didn't ask them. My consent
we
was not given.
We never wanted to be in this group chat, but because Krishan came around, she made Blueface popular again. And we're in their dysfunctional ass relationship, and it's like we don't want to be a part of it, but it's like a bad car accident. You just keep
looking at it.
But you know it's bad.
You know that the car is gonna go up in flames, but you're like, damn, if I can get this on camera,
yes,
it would be magical. This is
their clickbait.
They are definitely clickbait.
There are lots of clickbait. They're interesting to watch. And it's just, it's so crazy because we're just like, how are they accepting this behavior? That's what we're seeing. We're seeing this is your reality. And I'm like, it's reality TV to us because it's like, how are you, this is, their life is reality
TV. But how much of it do we think is real though?
I think all of it is real.
Because I don't think reality TV is that real, but I feel like there's a certain level that might be real.
I don't think reality TV.
Well, I think it's because you watch their other shows.
I don't watch the, who shows?
You watch the baddies, bitch. You watch
I thought you were talking about Krishan's show. I'm like, I don't watch her show.
Everything that got to do with them, you know more than I do. So I'm saying I only see from what I see.
I mean, but Blueface isn't on baddies. It's just Krishan.
Oh.
Her Krishan's storyline, she don't even really bring up Blueface unless Blueface is on the episode.
Oh.
But he hasn't been on the last couple episodes, so we don't talk about Blueface. No one cares about him. Baddies about bitches fighting and arguing and getting drunk and party.
So it's like a hooder version of Bad Girls Club.
It is a way hooder version of Bad Girls Club. Yes, that's exactly what Baddies is.
I hate that for us.
Girl, but it's some good-ass TV. I love to see a good-ass fight. And hey, I want to say one thing. Krishan's sister, Tiseki, I like her. I don't know if all of this allegation...
I don't know any of this.
I don't know what's coming about her is true. You know, they be saying she was touching people.
Touching
kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, when she was a kid, she was touching kids.
So when she was a kid, she was touching kids?
Yes. Not as an adult, as a kid. Yeah, that's what they were saying.
It might be true.
But, you know, when you feel a kid touching a kid, it's learned behavior.
That's a fact.
Yeah, so they're a fucked up family, you know. But anyways.
Welcome to our story time. Our story time is about Benita. And we just see once another person that's up on our timeline without our consent. So I don't know if you all know about her. I don't know that much about her, but I know enough about her to know that she's very likable, but very unlikable in the same sense.
I didn't know anything about her until she made that ugly people comment.
Where she didn't like ugly people.
Yeah. She's like, not everyone's attractive.
Yeah.
Some people are ugly. I'm like, okay.
And I feel like after that, I feel like because she's someone, she is a plus size. Is she a podcaster? What is she? Yeah, what does she do?
She's on podcasts. She's a podcaster.
Oh, so she is a podcaster. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she was on a podcast, and she's, like, very problematic, I think, purposely. And the thing is, we don't have a problem with that, but we said the spaces that she's in, the opportunities that she has, comes with a different tax bracket where she has to be not even just mindful, but just, I feel like, understand that the influence that you have kind of does reflect on other Black people that are not in the same spaces as you. Mm-hmm. Because when you are a Black person in white spaces, the white people look like, oh, this is the token Black person, mm-hmm. the staple. Even though we might not, like, agree with her, any of her ideas or her ideologies, because we are Black, we are subjected to what she
thinks, because she's the only Black person that they're
allowing in that room.
Yeah, and that they're getting, you know.
But do you feel like they allow people like that in those spaces so they can have that rhetoric and that conversation of saying Black people act like this?
I think that is very true. I think she actually act like that, and that's true. Like, that's, they found a Black person that will fit their narrative.
Yeah.
So, Girl, I just feel like it's just kind of strange. I feel like you should be uplifting more mm-hmm. than tearing down what you're doing. And honestly, I think it's just so strange to us because you look the way you do say the things that you say. And it's just like, that's just the baffling part. It's like, there's no humility in you. At all. And it's like, there should be a little bit more humility in you.
Right now, because she's making the money of what people would
that's just why there's none. Yeah.
She has the audacity
to say
that
the
men were born with.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say those things. I want to not go be on a podcast and be like, some people are just ugly. Not everyone's attractive.
I mean, you do say that, but we're in different tax brackets, so we can't say it.
I say that about men, though.
But I feel like there are ugly women, too, though. I feel like I can say that. You can say that because we are not, I feel like I respectfully, I know it sounds so stupid saying out loud, y'all, I'm not about to be in a white room acting up for white people. I feel like
never.
I'm saying.
But do you think the way we act might be, think we acting up in front of white people? Because the way we act, our mannerisms, the way we talk, you know?
No, I don't think so. But yeah. I mean, then again, we only know what we've seen of her.
Yeah.
And I have not done more research than what I need to know.
We have also not done enough research because maybe we could be butt-ass fucking wrong.
I have not done enough research, but I feel like the only thing that I've come on across from her, she's being a fucking menace. And I'm just like, girl, have some, like, you are having an opportunity to do some really great shit with the viewership that you're getting. Mm-hmm. Please, do something better than what you're doing.
Do something better than what you motherfucking doing, because if you don't, bitch, we will.
Hello?
Put us in our motherfucking placeless.
And the girls are back at it again.
With another messy-ass episode of Sip and Sue. We create conversations all while.
Sip and wine.
I go by the name of the motherfucking Sammy.
And I'm ambitious. I'm the girl. Tori. So we're going to get into our ick of the week. I'm going to get into mine because Samantha says she doesn't have one, but I think she'll get one eventually in life, you know, maybe, because shit be happening. So my ick of the week is get ready with me videos. There is no reason why I'm seeing you in your underwear on Instagram. I don't need to see what you're wearing down to your fucking perfume. I feel like y'all are just trying to find an excuse to have softcore porn, because why are y'all on Beyonce's internet with your underwear on? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you have a get ready, and I don't even get vloggers. I'm sorry, y'all. I hate it. I hate that y'all have to put a camera up to do your daily life chores. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine going to Target and someone's putting a fucking camera just to just film themselves going down the...
Are you talking about that guy?
Yes.
Well, okay, why did his video make such a big deal? Because so many people do the same thing.
I feel like it annoys me in general, but just seeing a man do it made me even madder.
Is that what it was? Because a man did it?
And even with my Get Ready For Me video, when I was watching it, I saw this man have his print just sitting there. I'm just like, God, you ruin everything, you stupid bitch. Have you seen that show?
No.
Oh, God, I'm watching it right now, and I'm fucking
obsessed. What show is that?
My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
What is it about?
It's about a bitch who literally dropped everything she had for an ex-boyfriend she had for 2 months and trying to, like, make her whole life about this man.
What is it on?
It's on Netflix. That's probably why. Yeah, you won't see it, but okay. Man, no. Like, I'm just like, y'all ruin everything. Like, I would have been okay if I just saw your outfit. Like, say outfit of the day, mm-hmm. but Get Ready With Me, starting with you in your drawers. It bothers me.
Get Ready With Me videos is kind of crazy.
They're insane.
It's kind of crazy. And there's no amount of normalizing that you can to normalize this for me. I guess because I'm older. We're older, so we don't get it. We're not like Gen Zs and stuff.
Yeah.
But Get Ready With Me videos is very cringe to me because you are recording yourself. Go, and then you go to sleep and then you act like you're waking up, and then you record yourself, and then you brush your teeth. And
Get Ready With Me, they're so cringy.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why you guys think your life is that interesting. Y'all do the same shit we do. We just don't record it.
They think they're just a little bit more important. Motherfucker. Okay, my ick. I got my motherfucking ick. My ick is when people try to argue with me on my personal page. I do not like it. I feel like I've made it very, very clear that my personal page is just for shits and giggles, me shaking my ass and having a good time. I am not going to argue with any opinions on my personal page. If you want to argue, go to the podcast page, share it, and argue with somebody else. You can actually argue with one of us.
I'm going to say when you're arguing with the page, you're still arguing with her. You are still, but it's just on a different platform.
Right. I just don't want to argue on my personal page. If you want to argue, argue on the podcast page. Get that engagement up. Like, I'm not trying to have a discussion with you on my personal page because I'm really just trying to have fun. I'm just trying to post funny, silly shit and just be on some good vibes. But I'm down to have a disagreement. I'm down to have a debate. It's just not on my personal page.
Like when that one dude was like, this is the end of the world. You were like, cry me a river.
Bro, because he was contradicting himself. He's like, I'm pro women, I'm pro feminist, but it just makes me so sad. I don't even go together.
I feel like the thing is, men feel like their opinion holds weight when we really don't give a fuck what y'all think about. Like, if you're a man that I'm dealing with, as in like I'm fucking you, or I might care about your opinion to a certain extent. Yeah. Trust me, I might care, you know, because we laying it down. We know we rolling around. But if it's just like some random ass person,
random ass man.
Our Instagram, our podcast page. Do you think that your opinion holds weight? I feel like it triggers you because you probably are getting fucked over by bitches because you think that you're a good guy and good guys are not good guys.
Any man that tells you he's a good man, he's not a good man. But I just don't understand. Like lately, it's just been a lot of like, it's that one post.
And it's always paragraphs. I feel like that's why with me, I always just post the video and go about my day on my story. Uh-huh. But you'll like put like, people like 50-50 war. Like you'll like make a comment about what you're posting, and usually someone will just like watch the video and just keep going. But you want to make it. You will make a paragraph about how you feel about the video that you're posting, and niggas.
I don't make a paragraph. No, it's never been a paragraph. I would make a comment, and I would use a poll. It's the poll. And so I do polls all the time. So I would just be like, I'll just ask a question, and then like on Sunday I posted the sharing finances page. I was like, is it ideal to share finances? And I'll do a poll. That creates conversation. And that's cool. Like, whatever. I don't mind. But it's whenever you're trying to change my opinion with this conversation that you're having with me. And I make it very clear, like, I accept your opinion, cool, but I'm not trying to have a conversation and y'all just keep trying to have this conversation. And I'm like, all right, it's time to get real disrespectful on this bitch. And I'm like, I can get real disrespectful and I really try not to, but I feel like, you know, when Cardi was like, I've been trying to act like a lady, but y'all been getting me tight. Like, that's how I feel. I really try to act like a lady, but y'all get me tight. I'm so
glad none of y'all try me on my personal page.
They're always trying me on my personal page.
I don't know what it is about me that gives y'all kumbaya and peace, but thank you. Thank you for bringing me peace. Like, sorry. I love it here.
Okay.
So let's get into some wine facts. We can get into some fucking tea time.
Tea time. I picked this up today. It's called House of Dragons.
Wow.
I got it. Well, it's kind of obvious why I got it, because if you were Game of Thrones fans, you might also possibly a House of Dragons fan. It is a red blend. It is made with deep whole and rich reds. It is a winemaking art created to inspire and satisfy. Aromas and flavors of fresh blackberries and red plums with the slightest touch of pepper and spice. It tells us a story of a vineyard in every class. Okay. 14.3% alcohol, and of course it's a 750 bottle. It's from HBO. I didn't know HBO standing for home box office.
Girl, you did not?
I did not know
that. I thought you watched that stand-up, which the girl from Insecure.
I did.
And she talked about HBO. She said, my mom be like, you're on the home box office? I can't do the accent. Damn, I'm so bad, y'all.
It's okay.
I don't have an African accent, and I wish I did, because I feel like some of y'all could turn it on and turn it off. I can't even turn it on.
I can turn it on and turn it off real quick.
Do it real quick.
It's fun. Okay, like, I'll be like, what are you doing?
See, I can't even do that.
Do you understand what you are saying to me?
Do you understand? Like,
you know what I'm saying? I can turn it off and turn it on real quick.
I cannot. And I try. And I fell epically. Like I always say, I am the you know, the safe option. I'm African, so I'm, you know, people can say, oh, I'm bringing African home, but I'm American enough to be like, okay, she's American.
I feel like I'm the same way too.
The fact that you can turn off and on an accent, you kind of like are more so not on the cusp.
Yeah, yes and no, because I feel like I'm the same way, just a little bit more African, just a little sprinkle of more spice. That's all it is.
The sprinkle is more sprinkling, because she even likes Afrobeat clubs.
I do, but also, I was going to say, it's just the parents' thing. My mom is very African, and your mom is African, but she also came in when she was young. So it's 16, like it's like having me become an African mom. Like, if I was a mom.
That'd be teen pregnancy. If you get pregnant right now.
Yeah, it feels like a crazy. But if I were to be a mom, I'll be like a mom like your mom.
You gotta think about it. It's only 9 years of you being an adult. Like, 19, 20. 9 years of you being an adult. Mm-hmm. You're still a fucking teenager.
Whatever makes us sleep at night.
Cheers to another messy ass episode. Sip and spill. Oh. I don't know if y'all know this or not, y'all, but I'm gonna tell y'all. Next week is my birthday.
Oh, exciting. This is good.
I like it too. Next week is my birthday, y'all. Like 9 days. Maybe by the time this drops, it's gonna be like, what, 7? Maybe 6.
Oh my gosh. How does that make you feel? It's almost your birthday, girl.
I don't even know.
Birthday girl.
My only birthday plans are like the trip. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out if I want to do something like in town. But if I do, I feel like I want to do something super chill. Like what I wanted to do last year was going to like a wine vineyard. I don't want to turn up and go be in a club for my
30. Are you tired of dinners? Like, because dinners are every year?
Dinners are every year. It's like
every year have a dinner.
Every year I do have a dinner.
Every year we have a dinner. It's what you do for your birthday. You have some kind of...
You have like, a big ass dinner with an expensive ass dress, with expensive ass food.
Yeah.
And I would rather us spending that money on either a trip or going to the vineyard, because at least I'm going to enjoy that, because I'm like, I love some wine.
Yeah,
and
this wine is actually really good.
And I want to do that last year, so that's what I'm shooting for.
Well, you should have started already planning for a vineyard.
Honestly, the thing is, my ideology when it comes around my birthday this year, if you can't make it, you can't make it. Because I'm very last minute on my planning. Like, my plan, y'all, was really to take the planning off my plate and was to give it to my sister and my ex-boyfriend. But then, you know, me and my ex-boyfriend... not together. And I was like, I wanted a big ass birthday party, like a funeral, like, you know.
Oh, you wanted one of those things where they had like a hall and like a party.
And I was like, I wanted to act like I wasn't involved, but I would have hands in telling them what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, damn, guess not. I'm going to just go out of the country.
But your sister's still sistering.
I know. She's still sistering. But I wanted them both to take the financial burden off of it.
Oh.
And you know... My sister, she has 2 kids. That's very selfish of me to think that she will throw a whole big-ass party for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe 31, he can throw me a birthday party.
The same person?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. We won't even speak that into existence. But we're not speaking into existence, but I'm owed something.
All right, let's get into motherfucking tea time. So, you know, I never thought Brian McKnight would go outside like this. Like, not like he's going out too sad, but he's kind of going out kind of sad. So, he recently had a baby. Who the baby mama is, I don't know. Didn't check. And the baby has a mix of a black name and a Samoan name. I don't know what it is, but it's like Brian McKnight, and it has an M name and another N name. It's like 4 different names.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's a junior, and then... The original Brian McKnight renamed himself to be a junior to his son, while there's already a Brian McKnight Jr., a grown-ass fucking Brian McKnight Jr. And we're just looking at this like, what kind of narcissist, sociopath, crazy person renamed himself to be have the same name as a baby? And then gonna name yourself a senior, even though your name came after the baby.
So you're really the junior.
You're really the junior of your own baby. And there's already a Brian McKnight Jr. Like, it kind of reminds me of when King of the Hill, when his dad gave him Good Hank and Bad Hank. Have you watched King of the Hill?
No, girl.
Okay, well, there's already a Hank Hill. And then he has a baby like 30 years later and gonna name him Hank Hill too, but he's Good Hank.
That's horrible.
That's what he's pretty much doing. He said he's a good Brian McKnight.
Honestly, I just feel like his son was saying, he said this is a display of self-hatred because it's like, why would you change your name of your roots, what you already had, to rename yourself? And I get a rebranding. I get that. But Brian McKnight, you're not fucking even relevant. So I just
And the baby like, got like a Samoan name. So why did you give yourself a Samoan name?
I don't know, because he's not Samoan.
At all.
So actually, we're actually quite confused. So
we're
because
very
you're not
confused.
That relevant, I'm sure if we tag you, you might respond to us. But I'm just thinking.
And have the audacity to promote his new album with all this.
Hello? A new album? What new songs?
Girl, we don't know.
It's the things that y'all do to stay relevant in young hoes' lives is insane to me. Girl. I bet you his fucking baby mama's a young hoe.
Of course she's a young hoe.
Because he's not even attractive no more.
Girl, she a young hoe.
Living off his 90s, 80s success. I hate that for her.
I love that for her. Well, that's good for him.
What money he got?
Yeah, we don't know what he did with his money, how he saved or how he didn't save. I don't know what Brian McKnight did with his money.
I'm just assuming you got to be a corny-ass motherfucker to do the shit that you did.
You got to be a very corny-ass motherfucker.
So I can't believe that you've been investing the way you've been investing. Because, with that being said, you are doing all this to get a, you know, smoke screen.
Especially to promote your album within the situation. It's like, what, using your baby to promote an album? Is that what we're doing here? Like, grow the
niggas
fuck up.
Niggas be corny. Niggas
it's
be corny.
Sad when we have to, like, raise our own parents, because that's what his son did. His son, like, sunned him.
Real quick and real easy. And let's talk about someone else is getting raised. Monique, auntie, twice removed auntie, third removed auntie adjacent, miss, don't wear a bonnet outside. Ma'am, the things that you tell us, we never asked for. We didn't want to know, and you're letting us know.
Okay.
Do you feel like we needed to know that?
I don't feel like we need to know that, but I feel like people are asked questions and they answer them. So I feel like when we're like, we never asked you for any of these things, someone did ask. The reason why they're saying these things is because someone literally asked them a question. It's not their fault the shade room posted it, and now it's getting shared to us. Even though we didn't ask for it, the shade room is harassing us.
You are right.
We're blaming the celebrity, but we should blame the shade room because they're the root of all evil.
But can I still blame her, though? Because it's like...
We can blame her for the dumb shit she's saying.
As your grown-ass self, let's get into what you fucking said.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about
what you said. That's what we can blame her for.
Okay, so Monique, you said that you call your husband daddy because he's raising you.
Daddy.
At your grown-ass fucking age.
She's like 55.
You're getting raised by your husband. You're being raised by your husband. Is there still work that needs to be done? Because you're already grown. And doesn't she have children of her own? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
See, that's the thing.
I think Monique got kids.
We do research to a certain extent. We stop to where it makes sense to us. Because we didn't even look to see if she had kids. Because maybe her ass is not fundamentally all the way there because she probably don't have any kids. And I'm not saying that kids make you, but kids do make you grow up a little bit faster, though. They do. So maybe I'm skipping a lot of steps before I'm calling you crazy. And Monique, we had to take a second to rewatch the video because we said we probably didn't do enough, like, you know, but the more that we watched the video, the worse it got.
We try to give you the benefit of the doubt.
We try to give the benefit of the doubt because I felt like I was just spewing nonsense.
And we were not.
Beautiful black women. But I was like, let me just give everything fine tuned. So we watched the video and it got worse. And what was she saying?
She was making it seem like, I got stopped getting raised when I was 13 and he found me at 35. And then now he's telling me when you were dating other men, you were not my responsibility, but now you're my responsibility. And the responsibility that he had was checking her. And I'm like, wait, that's not raising you, bitch. That's called accountability because my friend checked me. Is my friend
No.
Are you raising me on me?
No.
We are grown. You can't raise an adult.
You can't raise
I'm sorry.
Adult.
You cannot raise an adult. Monique, you are a grown-ass woman in a relationship with a grown-ass man, and that's called a partnership.
Mm.
That is what it's called. It's called a fucking partnership because as a married couple, what do you want for your partner?
You want the to best. Elevate. You want to do the best thing. Exactly.
You want them to be the best. So if you are in a loving, healthy marriage, let's add that part because some people are in some fuck-ass shit.
Yeah.
If that person loves you and wants the best for you, they're going to check you because they want you to elevate. And that is what that is. It's not him raising you, bitch. Come on. Come on. Grow the fuck up. Raising you? You're 55. And, like, why are you even using that language around your grown-ass age? Like, I'm not even using that language around my grown-ass age.
I would
age.
Never go into a union with a man that is to lead me and say that is my father, because I'm not looking...
He's raising you.
Because I'm not looking for my father in a mate. And I feel like maybe because I don't have the best relationship with my father, but she doesn't have a great relationship with her father either.
She so said why, that nigga stopped raising him when she was 13. So
why
yeah.
are you looking for your father in men when he clearly did not exhibit the leadership that you need in a partner? So why would you even give someone that honor? Respectfully, I wouldn't even call my boyfriend daddy and or my husband. I don't think it's cute. I don't even like when people do that shit around me. Yeah. Even if y'all think it's like a little cute banter, I think it's fucking weird. But that's just me.
What if men say mommy?
I think that shit's weird as fuck too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not your fucking mother.
I like when men say mommy.
They have to be have to be foreign. You can't be no regular.
No, of course foreign. You can't be a black nigga saying mommy. What the fuck?
Now,
because I know y'all actually want a mommy.
Real bad.
Okay.
Mustard on the beat.
Let's get into DJ Mustard, that messy ass bitch. So as you might know, DJ Mustard was with dating this one woman for like a very, very long time.
Were they married or were they only dating?
I don't know if they were married or not. I think they were.
So continue talking about it. I'm going to look it up real quick.
I think they actually were married at a point. And, you know, she's had children with him and everything. And now, all of a sudden, DJ Mustard just switched up on a bitch. And she's confused because she was like, I was there when you were broke. I was there for the thick and thin. And how dare you, you know, leave me and do all this shit. And now she's suffering trying to raise these kids by herself. And he don't want to help do nothing. And she feels scorned because she's like, I was there from the beginning. How dare you from this motherfucking bag? And this is why I always tell women, please do not ever raise a man up. Accept him for who he is, and please only have him when he's up and not when he's down, because whenever you are up, he gonna look at you and be like, why did you accept poverty?
I mean, Kanye West literally said, and when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl.
He gonna look at you.
I don't know if DJ Mustard left her for a white girl, but the thing is, I don't like the rhetoric of women having to stick through the struggle. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what age you are. I think that women are going to do better when they put themselves and what they need first.
Put myself first, Lucius.
And I always say that to them. I said to my mom. I said to my sister. I said that to every woman in my life. Because the moment that you put yourself first, you are no longer thinking about someone else's feelings. You are literally only thinking, how far can this get me? Because that's what men look at. They look at you and think about, how far is this going to get me? Mm-hmm. Think about Michael Jordan when he was with his wife for X amount of years. He said, it looks good that I'm a family man. It looks good I'm this. I look like this. I'm so wholesome. And then the man got where he wanted to get in life, and he left that bitch. And then he left that bitch. So I'm just like, men literally take you as far as they can take you, and then they leave you where they fucking found you. And if they found you in the fucking gutter, they're gonna leave you in the fucking gutter. So that's why I'm not gonna let no nigga find me no gutter. I'm not gonna let no nigga leave me in the gutter. Girl. So literally, anything that you can get from a man, get it.
Get it. A nigga will leave you for dead, A nigga will leave you in a desert with no water. A nigga will leave you out in the rain with no umbrella, and they do not care.
And I'm going to say that also goes back to what we were saying, like, for our topic of conversation, is, like, fumbling the bag. Like, because people will look at that relationship like, oh, she was with him when he was down. Is he fumbling the bag? What is, like, why would you leave someone that was with you for that long? And I feel like we got to stop using history as the reason of staying with people. Because maybe they shit was fucked up way before. But us looking from the outside, and we're like, she was with him for so long.
You know what I think it is that when you get up, you don't want to be reminded of the struggle.
Yeah.
And every time he looks at you, you remind him of struggle. You remind him of all the bad things he went through, how hard he had to work. He wants to look at his...
I think you should look at that and smile, though.
Girl, like, they look at that like, oh, like, it's bad. So when he gets his next bitch, his new bitch, this bitch reminds him of goodness,
yeah,
happiness, yeah, positive times. He looks at you, he's looking like, struggle. So and now he hates you and he resents like,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and the struggle will remind you of the place. Yeah, you're right. It reminds you of the place. I would hope that that's not the truth.
It is the truth.
The thing is, I don't really think too highly of men. So it is kind of hard to think that that's not a possibility of what transpired within your relationship. So,
all right. So what is fumbling in the bag? So pretty much a fumbling in the bag is a major fuck up.
Yeah.
And have you ever fumbled the bag, my friend?
In my opinion, I don't ever necessarily feel like I fumble the bag. I feel like what's for me is going to be for me. I don't think I fumble the bag because when I meet men that I find of high quality or high value, I treat them as such. I don't give everyone the best version of me if they don't need the best version of me.
And men be so shocked when you don't want to give all of themselves to you. I'm just like, not all of you are deserving of all of myself.
So for me, I think it's because I'm a self-proclaimed narcissist. So I'm probably these people that y'all are fucking dating out here in this world. But I literally don't feel like I fumbled anyone. Anyone that's ever been in my life maybe might have felt like I fumbled them. But I feel like, because respectfully, my sister and my mom, I keep going back to this like relationship because everyone thinks it was very transformative in mine. And it was my longest relationship. And everyone kept thinking like, oh my God, that man's going places. What are you doing breaking up with him? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm not fumbling.
They thought he was going places?
I'm like, I'm not fumbling poverty. Like you always say, there is nothing in my mind that felt redeemable that I was losing out on that made me want to miss out on other opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like that was a calculated risk that I was willing to take. So I don't ever feel like I fumbled the bag.
Okay.
Do you feel like you ever fumbled someone or someone important that you...
You see, when I think of fumbling the bag, my very first thought is finances. And I'm going to go with what I know best. And my fumbling the bag is not rising up with my true African self and doing them PPP loans. That was the biggest bag I ever fucking fumbled because the niggas who did it did not, they're not in jail. If you didn't do nothing major, you are fine. You are walking this earth knowing you got tens and $20,000. And I'm over looking at you like, you bitch, because I could have got that. But I was just thinking like, oh, I'll be the one, they're going to get us. I thought y'all were going to jail, but none of y'all went to jail. None of y'all. And I'm just like, wow, that will always be my biggest regret because that was a come up if there was one, bitch. Bitches got BBLs, bitches got houses, open businesses, got cars, got like, it was just a wonderful time. COVID was a wonderful, I'm sorry y'all died.
I'm sorry
people died, but it was also a wonderful time. So just to be in our house and be stuck and still and get lots of money.
Well, you know, I was still outside. I feel like I was the worst person during COVID.
The worst because I was actually kind of scared. You bitch said, I don't give a fuck about nothing.
I literally did.
I don't give a fuck about none of this shit.
I never caught COVID.
None of this shit. I don't know if I got COVID. I think I got COVID.
I never did.
Yeah.
Because we were in close proximities all the time.
All the time.
And you never got sick, but I was always outside.
I think I got COVID.
Say what?
I think I got COVID.
Maybe I was COVID immune because
it was a time where I stopped smelling.
Never happened for me.
Yeah, girl.
The senses were sensing all five of them.
Good for you, bitch. I think you passed it to me because we were still recording this damn motherfucking podcast. And yeah, y'all, that was my biggest bag of my biggest fumble of the bag was not doing the PPP loans.
And it's so funny that when we were having this conversation prior, I was telling Samantha, I said, yeah, because people always be like, you fumbled. She's like, what does that even mean? I was like, you fumbled somebody. She was like, when you say fumble the bag, I think you're talking about money. And everything goes back to money with Samantha. So, and I love that for her. Because if you have a very core personality trait, I'm glad that we know.
Yeah.
Money flows to you abundantly.
It
freely.
Does. Money comes
like,
to me.
It comes to me. Like,
I have a great relationship with money. Money loves me. Money carries me. Money loves me at night. It never, ever does anything wrong to me.
The thing is, the years I've known Samantha, that has never changed throughout her. That's been the one consistent, and I love that. Because if you gonna show up one way, you better show up with your fucking hand out, and you better show up with some fucking money.
Period. I love that you love that about me. And girl, that you already know.
And I mean, it's rubbing off on me, too, because... this one girl at my job, it's so funny because I was telling one of my best friends right now.
I love it.
One of my best friends, I was telling her, I'm like, okay, I'm like dating guys. She was like, and then this other girl was like, if he ain't got money, you shouldn't be fucking dating him. And I'm looking around like, I hear that. And she's like, Ami, you're getting older. She's like, I you should talk to this guy. And I'm like, I was like, you don't know the backstory with this nigga, but I was like, I can't really talk to him like that because he overpromises and underdelivers. You know what I'm talking about. He overpromises but underdelivers.
Yeah.
So like, I was telling my best friend about it and she was like, that didn't bother you that she said that? I'm like, I don't give a fuck if a bitch thinks I need to talk to a nigga with more money. I need to talk to niggas with more money.
You do.
Because the dreams that I have and the dreams that I want.
Equals niggas with more money.
And the thing is, I was talking to my friend yesterday and I said, why would I not want to date a nigga with value? I'm not dating. And this one video I saw, see, we go so many train thoughts, but this video said, men will bring you to where you're at. They're at. They'll either bring you up or they'll either bring you down. Mm-hmm. If a man is lower than you, he's going to bring you to where you're at. If a man is more elevated than you, he's going to elevate your life. And I said, that's absolutely true. Because every nigga.
If he likes you.
And a nigga that I've dated that was higher than me made sure that I was on a more higher like level.
Yeah.
A nigga that was under me, and I didn't know he was under me until he was under me, made sure.
He brought you down to the depths of hell.
He brought me to the depths of hell, but he ain't bring me under him because, child, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus and everything that's great.
Amen.
So, if someone wants to ever leave you, do you feel like they're fumbling you?
At this stage of life that I am, if you leave me, you're fumbling me.
Yeah.
Me a couple years ago, if you left me, you probably did the right thing for yourself.
You probably did the right thing. You probably loved yourself, King.
You probably loved yourself, King. You knew I wasn't shit because I wasn't shit. Now I'm learning to be shit. If you leave me now, you fumble your motherfucking
bag. I was going to say the same thing. I said, actually, I feel like it's half and half with me sometimes. Because I feel like sometimes when you leave me, you are doing what's best for you. Because like I just said earlier.
You still toxic?
I have some toxic qualities.
Still?
I do.
Okay.
Because I quite enjoy them.
At what age do we let go of our toxicity?
I think we only let go of them when we feel like we overcome that. But sometimes I'm not over being the smaller person. I don't want to be the bigger person all the time.
I don't think there's no age limit of letting go of it because this nigga's still 60 years old talking about, I'm not looking nothing serious at 60 years old.
Exactly. So I feel like at my age, it depends on you. You depend on what kind of bitch you get out of me. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you bring me peace and you elevate my life, of course, I'm going to honor.
Have you ever been a bad bitch to a good nigga?
A bad bitch to a good nigga.
Uh-huh. I've been a bad bitch to a good nigga.
I was.
Because you can be a good nigga and you can still get a bad bitch out of me.
Yeah, no.
So it don't always depends on what you
really
are.
Does. It really does. And that was when I was younger.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older and like I literally assess these situations, I see them coming. Because, you know, women, we think of all possibilities that are going to happen before.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We think of the wedding. We think of the breakup.
And I feel like, that's what I'm saying. In my last current relationship, I felt like he was a good enough person for me not to be a bad person to.
Okay.
Because he's done X amount for me. Because I was bad to him when he was good to me, and when he was bad to me, I was good to him. So it was like we were two trains in the night. Because when he did some shit, I was just like, oh, this nigga gets me off. Like blood boiling.
They wait till they get you till they start doing bad shit to you.
Because I'm saying, because he worked his ass off to get to me
just to do some bad shit to you.
Hello. But then I was just like, honestly, the things that he's done to me, I'm like, I feel like are redeemable because of all the things that he added to my life.
Okay.
Outside of that. If he didn't add to my life,
I wonder, does he listen to this podcast? Because, nigga, she's saying he still got a chance.
You know what?
I wonder if
he got a chance to Jason.
She's saying he still got a chance.
He has a chance right now because of what he's going through. I don't see it as of right now. But if, like, the niggas I'm dating now just don't fancy my tickle or whatever tickle my fancy.
Because the niggas you're dating right now don't spend the money he was spending. That's what it is. You gotta spend that money, baby!
Respectfully,
yes.
Because the way that the money. Man swooped in and just like literally took care of everything.
That's what you want.
The thing is, y'all, I don't want y'all to think that he paid my bills because he did not pay my fucking bills. But like, I'm just saying.
He took care of what he needed to take care of and it was enough.
And did it very fucking
because
well.
You don't have to pay all the bills, but when you're taking care of what you need to take care of and you're taking care of it the way he was taking care of it, baby, we're in this thing.
You definitely have a place that can probably not be replaced and you could probably swoop in when my inhibitions are low.
So I'm gonna ask you a question. Is everybody a fumble? Because everybody be like, oh, you fumble me. But I'm gonna look at you and be like, were you a fumble? What do you think?
I feel like we were saying this on the phone. I don't feel like everyone is a fumble. Sometimes, literally, some people are meant to be in your fucking life for a lesson. Some people are trying to show you that sometimes everyone can't get the best version of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you have to fumble a few people to understand what is worth losing. And you have to think about, when it comes to fumbling, you was like, what are the risks? Mm-hmm. If I'm only losing good a dick, is that really a fumble? Because there's a lot of dicks out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about if I want to try all of them.
Right.
And there's a lot of niggas with money. Are they all going to fucking enhance me, though? That's what I'm saying. So it's like, you have to see what's important to you of what is worth fumbling. I don't think that everyone is a fumble, but I feel that if there are certain core qualities and beliefs that you want and they exhibit it and you blatantly are disrespecting it, if everything that you prayed for, you are fucking up royally, it's a fumble.
But everyone kind of do think they're a fumble. Like, I was listening to this podcast and this guy was pretty much psychologically in every way emotionally abusing this girl. He was making up people so she can talk to. He was abusing her dog. He was putting her down, telling her fat, ugly piece of shit, whatever. And whenever she actually found out about all the crazy, abusive, neglective thing he was doing to her, what he told her was, you're losing on the best thing ever happened to you. in her idea, she's like, I'm getting away from the most abusive, crazy man I've ever met in my life. But he really thought in his crazy ass brain that she was fumbling the bag. So I'm just letting y'all know is that most of y'all are not as good of people as y'all think y'all are. Y'all are not this great relationship person. Y'all are not this loving. Y'all really not. Human beings always overvalue themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's, I do it too. We all do it. It's okay. So I'm just reminding us and me that maybe sometimes you are not the catch and it's okay. That person did not fumble you. They got the fuck out.
Yeah. I thought that's a good way of thinking about it because I feel like sometimes you aren't fumbled and that's okay to think about.
Yeah.
Some people do think very highly of themselves and I feel like I, as myself, do think very highly of myself. I will fuck you over and still think I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. I remember I was talking to my ex-boyfriend, like I said, of 7 years mm-hmm. and I said, I'm the best looking bitch you ever talked to. I'm like, I'm the bitch with the most fucking money. I would say shit to him like that.
Damn.
And, yeah. And then I'm just like, maybe that wasn't important to him. Maybe what was important to him was his peace and I didn't give him peace.
Maybe what was important to him is to have a bitch who split the bills and still cooking clean.
And that's important.
That's what was important.
Fumbling a bag for him is that. And I could never fit into that bag.
No.
But I'll let you fuck other bitches because I didn't want to fuck you. But I was like, that.
Have you ever regretted fumbling anyone?
I don't think there's anyone that I feel like I regretted fumbling because I tell you people, most people come back to me. Like everyone just, I always say things don't happen to me. They happen for me. I literally have people in my fucking DMs talking about how they're still manifesting me. How are you manifesting me when you ghosted me? Like I just, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you hear how psychotic that sounds to you?
Men are psychotic.
Men are psychotic. This man's like, I'm going to take you on a date. I'm going to do all these things. I'm like, that's crazy. I haven't seen you in years. What are you talking about?
Girl, some guy that I haven't talked to since December of last year texted me when I was at, like 2 weeks Saturday. And I'm thinking, and I have a very bad habit of not saving numbers.
Ever.
So I'm texting him thinking he was my friend. Like that's a girl, someone else. And I realized it was him. And I was like, wait, I looked at the text message. I'm like, wait, this is some guy that I have talked to in months. And I'm like, the audacity of you to think you can contact me a year and a half later, asking to hang out. He was like, hey, I want to see you soon, blah, blah, blah. A year and a half later, not even like a regular conversation getting leading into it. It's automatic. Let's hang out.
The thing is, I feel like men are stuck in time. They literally feel like where they left things, they can pick it up
and, right
like,
there.
And be right there. And I'm just like, there's so much time, people, humans, feelings that like transpired. Men that feel like you fumbled them feel that they can pick up because they feel like they
and
are
the crazy the thing, the last time we talked, he left me on red.
That's what I'm saying.
So you left me on red and then you text me a year and a half later trying to hang out. Like, what?
And that's why I feel like the best thing for most men is stay in rotation. Just text people periodically
yeah.
so we can still remember you. But for you to go months, years without speaking to me, and then you could think you could just pop up, and I'm like, oh, I'm single. I'm ready.
Let's hang out.
I feel like only people that can do stuff like that are people that have history with you. And I feel like history means as if we were dating.
Yeah.
Like, if I had an ex-boyfriend that I really fucking loved and I feel like I didn't get closure,
yeah.
maybe you can do that.
Yeah.
But someone that was like a fling, you someone can just that, fly right in.
We probably have 5 text messages with a conversation when he did that, when he ghosted me. What makes you think you'd come back a year and a half? Why do you even still have my number? How did you find me?
And the thing is, the audacity to think you can date around, thinking you could find someone better than me, and then resorting the fact that you can't find someone better than me, and or you're bored.
You're bored.
Because I'm like, I don't know which one is either one.
He was
like,
definitely bored.
Because I feel like sometimes either men are bored or they can't find someone that's like you, respectfully. Yeah. Because I feel
it was only 5 text messages, so he didn't even know what kind of bitch I was.
Okay, so he's just probably
he was bored.
Okay, so the guy I'm talking about, me and him went on dates, we were actually like a thing yeah. before we weren't a thing. So I feel like you guys are constantly going through these cycles, and we keep saying it to y'all. Seek help, seek therapy, seek something that, because what y'all are doing is not working for y'all. And we're not going to be here to be your pillows. I'm not your fucking mother. I'm going to be married in 2-3 years. Who fucking knows? Get the fuck out of my inbox, bitch. I felt that in myself. So we're going into our game where we're going to see couples that broke up and who fumbled who, and or is it a fumble or was it a come up? So my first one is Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Who fumbled who?
I think Kanye fumbled Kim.
I think Kim fumbled Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Kanye, more relative. I feel like Kanye, I think it's who you like more and who you follow more. And I follow Kanye. So I feel like he's going places. She's a fucking billionaire, granted, but so is he. He invested in her, gave her.
He's like, not a billionaire anymore.
okay, well, I don't know if that, but either way, yeah. when they were together though, he told her every fucking thing that she loved, he got her, he bought her stocks. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm saying. He's elevating her in ways that are just more than just fashion. He was like, I feel like I like men that are going to invest in you. And not only did he make her look better, he invested in her monetarily. Mm-hmm. And I love that. So I feel like,
yeah, I feel like personality wise, Kim is just a much better person. That's what I see is fumbling. Yeah, he elevated her. But one thing I would say about Kim, Kim has never, ever, ever publicly embarrassed Kanye, while Kanye has multiple times publicly embarrassed Kim. And I watch her show here and there, and Kim makes it very apparent and make it very, make sure that her kids never seen Kanye in a bad light. She never disrespects Kanye. She never does any, even though he's a wild fucking card, she always makes sure she's respectful of him and his image. So because of how I'm seeing how she was still honors a man that's disrespecting her, that's why I think he fumbled her. Yeah, he brought her up. Yeah, he helps her. Like, she was seeing how she's never, she, before she makes, picks out an outfit, Connie has to approve it. That's how controlling he was of everything she did. Like, he approved.
Or that's it. How much she valued his opinion. I don't think it was controlling. I think it's how much she valued.
It is controlling, but I mean, she didn't mind it. I mean, someone picking out every single one of your outfit is, I think, is controlling. Whether or not you don't mind it or not, she didn't care, but someone picking out every outfit you wear in public is controlling. But just because it's controlling doesn't mean it's coming from a negative place. I feel like Kanye wants his bitch to look good, so that's why he did it. But I think it's still strange to control. For your outfits, it has to be vetted by him before you can wear it. But
I'm going to say, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Hello, motherfucker.
I don't think it's a problem. If my man wants to say what I want to wear, that's cool, because he has great taste. So I don't mind it, but it doesn't change the fact that that's still kind of controlling, the fact that you have to pick every single outfit I wear.
Okay.
But yeah, but anyways, that's why I think Kim fumbled Kanye. I mean, Kanye fumbled Kim. My next one is Tiana Taylor and Iman. Who fumbled who?
I think Tiana fumbled. I think that Iman is so out of the way. He's so, like, reserved. He loved that woman. Like, mm-hmm. what we've seen. We were not in the relationship. But I feel like that man was team her. And I don't know. I can't speak for it, but that's what I think. I don't know. I might be wrong. And a nigga, they always say, get a nigga that love you more than you love him. Mm-hmm. And that's what it seemed like, that he loved her more than she loved him.
Okay.
That's what it seemed like. Oh, you don't have anything to say about that?
Because I really don't know who fumbled who. I think they're both confusing. Feel like they're both equally good people. Like, I don't know, but we don't know their lives.
Because they don't bash each other. Like, that's what I'm saying. They respect each other. But I just feel like, because I feel like she's more out in the world and very more extroverted than he is, we would never fucking know.
We would never fucking know who was the issue.
We don't need to know. It's not our fucking business.
And they're both very respectful for each other. And that's what I love. So it's like, I really don't know who fumbled who. All I know is I want them back together.
Same. I want them back together, too.
Yeah.
Mine is Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
I think Brad Pitt fumbled.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Mm-hmm. Angelina, what? Mm-hmm. The bone structure?
She's a beautiful white woman.
She's a great actor. She's an activist. She's a humanitarian. Like, I'm just like, Brad, what do you do?
Yeah, she's... Brad Pitt is Brad... What do you mean? Brad, you know
what do?
You know what the fuck Brad Pitt does.
What does he do?
Bitch. Let's not act like Brad Pitt is not one of the biggest actors in the U.S.
For the whites.
For the blacks, too.
I don't think so. I think Leonardo DiCaprio was like...
call him DiCaprio?
DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
DiCaprio and Mark Wahlberg are a lot higher on that list.
Girl, Mark the racist, the one who beats up black and Asian people?
Mark does not beat up white... Are we talking about the same guy?
He beat up Asian and black people. Also, he went to jail for it, girl. He beat up an Asian person so bad and then beat up another Asian person for no reason. He's super racist.
Well, that has to do with me.
And it's crazy. That's why white privilege for you, because we just ignore the fact that he went to jail for beating up... He went to jail for a hate crime.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, white people get away with hate crimes all the time.
Well, he went to jail for it.
Well, I guess at least they
just ignore the fact that he went to jail for a hate crime and made him a famous celebrity. Yeah, so we should not support Mark Wahlberg. He's actually very problematic, and he's a racist, and he beats up people for
one
being.
One thing about family, she gonna stand against racism.
Bitch, I am an activist through and through. To this day, I do not eat at Chick-fil-A. to this motherfucking day.
Or pizza. Or Papa John's.
I had Papa John's recently because at a meeting, they fed us Papa John's. And it wasn't until after I ate it. I was like, damn, it's Papa John's. It was kind of good. But I will never eat Papa John's after this. I have not ate Papa John's since that nigga comment. Yeah, I'm gonna stand strong in my beliefs, bitch. I don't.
Okay, so who's your next couple?
Joe Jonas and Sophie.
I think that Joe he fumbled a bag.
Okay.
I think she brought his relevancy back. I think when people bring back relevancy and happiness to your life, because I feel like no one knew what Joe was doing, because Nick has been the most popular one for the longest time.
And why is that? Is it because he's the cutest?
He's definitely the cutest.
Yeah.
He's the only one that had a solo career. None of them had a solo career outside
they
of Nick.
They didn't?
Nick, no, Joe didn't, but Nick had a solo career. That one song.
I could have sworn Joe had a solo career.
No.
What? It was
and
just
the
Nick.
The thing is, Nick can
put
do
some
everything.
Bacon on it.
Yeah, no,
he wasn't a nigga. He was
He's
black
a producer.
For a minute.
Yeah. He can play an instrument. He can sing. Mm-hmm. And then his wife is fucking gorgeous.
She's like 10 years older than him, too.
But that's weird.
I love that.
I'm saying everything about him is like so like.
And she's like a different race. I love that.
And she's so fine.
Yeah.
I started watching Quantico and I was like, oh, she fine. She was married to an Indian man at the time. And so when she got married to Nick, I said, and you know, Sophie, that bitch, like people that were.
She's gorgeous.
The Game of Thrones,
she's
they were making
gorgeous.
Fucking bread. Like insane amount of money. And the fact of the matter is she's taller than him. Like I just feel like her relevancy is, he's more of like a Justin Timberlake, like heartthrob. Like Joe. He's like someone you thought about when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to be relative throughout, like, because of Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is never going to fucking die.
It's a stample. It's a stamp.
And I watched Game of Thrones literally probably 3 years after it was out. And I literally caught myself all the way up.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And it's so hard to rewatch because it's, like, so in-depth.
That's what I'm saying. She's more relative. So I feel like he fumbled it I don't know.
We don't know these people.
But I feel like for me, when I look on the outside in, it makes more sense to me to think that this is a relative person currently in the eye of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brings dollars, publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one is Sean Combs and Jenny from the Block. I had to call them by their old names.
I want to say J-Lo fumbled P. Diddy.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because J-Lo was only relative when she has the black population behind her. Like, when she was with Mark Anthony, literally people fucking forgot she existed.
I think black people did. I think she was very famous in that Latin world.
That's what I'm saying. She's more popular. Relativity.
Of our world, no. But I mean, I think it's important to say that she was very... dating Mark Anthony was actually a highlight
for her.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
because Mark Anthony, he wasn't famous to us, but he's famous in that community.
But I feel like in every aspect, with every man that she's like lost, she's the one that fumbled. Because I feel like they're more popular than her.
Yeah.
All of them are more popular.
I agree. Yeah.
So I feel like she's just very... she's there. Because she can't sing. She can perform-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, J-Lo's not someone we think of. Like, she doesn't even sing her own songs. She has someone singing the shit over her while she's mouthing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just not J-Lo fans.
We're
I think J-Lo is going to be... it's always going to be problematic for us because we know that Ashanti was singing her lyrics.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to stick with my black
We're going to stick with Ashanti. So, I know J-Lo did a lot of stuff, but we're just not really J-Lo fans. Next is Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
I think that...
who fumbled who? That's a hard one.
If we're looking at longevity, she fumbled because she's mm-hmm. been divorced twice.
Okay.
But I feel like when we first saw it happening, we literally thought that...
Justin fumbled?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the pop princess.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Britney Spears was that girl.
And she still is that... well, she's not still that girl.
She's not that still
music,
that girl.
Her music is still relative.
But Britney's... she's not still that girl, but because she's... Britney Spears is so iconic, she will always be that girl.
Yes, because I feel like even now, her shit that she put out years before Justin Timberlake being a solo artist is still better
yeah.
than his music when he was solo.
Yeah.
Like, I like NSYNC music more than I like Justin Timberlake music.
Yeah.
So
I think
like,
the only thing I like was Sexy Back and that
and
love song.
With Beyonce?
Yeah.
Love song. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm saying. So long term, she fumbled the bag, but short term, when we thought about it, we're he fumbled the bag. But yeah, they're white people, so I don't like getting into white people's business anyways. So.
You already know it.
So let's get into some motherfucking questions. My question is, if someone fumbled you, would you let them spin the block?
If I feel like I'm getting fumbled, I don't think I would let them spin the block.
Okay.
Like, you lost me. Like, no. There's no one that I feel like fumbled me that I would allow spin the block.
Okay. I feel like for me, I feel like it depends. It just really depends where I'm at in my life. Because I can't even speak the future, but I'm like, it depends on how worldly you fumbled me. If it wasn't that bad, I'll consider it.
Question. If someone fumbled you but offered you a large amount of money to come back in your life, would you accept it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Sprinkle Sprinkle says. Like, she said, if a man, you have to have the apology just as loud as the motherfucking disrespect.
Period.
So if you fucked me over extremely bad and my friends hate you and I hate you, money's the only thing that's gonna soften the deal. I remember sometimes when I was mad at my ex-boyfriend, I said, if he gives me a great gift, he can make it to the next fucking 2 months. I would say that to my friend. I'm like, because the gifts be gifting. The gifts always gift.
Yeah.
And it's not like this nigga be beating my ass or anything. I'm like, he just be pissing me off sometimes. So I'm like, yeah. Hands out. My question is, what are some ways that'll make you think that you fumbled a good thing? Like, what are some things, like, what do you feel like you're missing out on? Like, if the guy that you were dating before was considerate, but the guy that you're dating now won't even let you wear a pair of his shorts because they're designer.
I think the only thing that would make me feel like I'm fumbling is if he pays less of my bills.
Okay.
Like, if he's doing less stuff for me, then I did worse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have another question for you, bitch. I'm sorry. I only had one. But, yeah. So thank you for taking this journey with us. If you fumbling, if you're not fumbling, what is fumbling a bag? And if you feel like you are fumbling a bag, and sometimes you are actually not getting fumbled, you're just a terrible ass person. And if you haven't already, follow us on all social networks at the Real Sip and Spill Everything except Twitter, which is
Sip and Spill One.
And give us a 5-star rating. Give us a 5-star bitches.
I sip wine, kick my feet up when I get tired. And as I recline, take another sip, let my thoughts unwind. I sip it and spill it. Sip it and spill it, sip it and spill the tea.